book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 31. I had made a kind of a promise to myself, if I can call it that, many years ago, that I would never use Proverbs 31 on Mother's Day. Because if you know what's coming, it can be quite intimidating. We're going to look in these verses at what the Bible defines as the model of a good mother. Or we might say as a good wife, but then there's things involved with the children, so it's definitely a good mother. Now let me say from the start, I am thankful that there is no chapter in the Bible for a model husband. Because these things that we read in verse 10 down through the end of the chapter of Psalms of Proverbs 31, if I was a wife, I would honestly feel intimidated by this checklist. But there is no Proverbs 31 checklist for a man, and we'll find out in a minute that the Bible tells us about this checklist for women that it's rare to find a woman that is all of these things. And if there's a checklist for man, it'd be downright impossible to find a man that met all those. So I figure that's why there's no checklist for men in the Bible. But we're going to look at Proverbs 31. We're going to do it differently than I normally do. I usually read the text, then pray and go back to it, but I want to take slowly the text because that's not the basis of my message, but I want to take slowly the text, so we'll kind of dissect it as we go through. So let's begin by praying this morning. Now, Father, we do thank You for this morning. We thank You for this special day. God, I know, personally, I feel that Mother's Day's kind of been watered down because every day anymore is supposed to be a special day about something. And God, we've just turned it into a bunch of nonsense. But Father, today is a very special day as we're reminded of our mothers and the place that You have put them in our lives. And Father, we reflect today mainly on the good things. Father, we know that no mother, no human is perfect. But Father, we reflect on the good things of our mothers or moms that are here, reflect on the good things they can be for their children. And so Father, I pray this morning that the message would be an encouragement. That Father, it would not be intimidating, it would not be downhearted, but Father, I pray it would encourage as we look not only at this list, but then some of the things we see about it. Father, I pray You'd use it to be a blessing. Lord, the message this morning is not geared towards salvation, but as always, we do pray that if there should be one today, male or female, that's without Jesus Christ in their heart and life, God, that You'd show them their imminent need. Father, their immediate need for faith in Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late for them. And Father, for we that are saved, may we get a blessing from Your Word. Father, take those things that we can use and apply to ourselves and apply to those that we love and be teachers of good men and good women through the Word of God. Bless, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 31, let's begin reading in verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And we're going to come back to verse 10 at the end and move on quickly to verse 11. I want you to see in verse 11 and 12 about this model woman. See how restful she is. Now, if you've got in your bulletin this morning, if you've got a piece of paper for sermon outline, I would encourage you to write these words down. And you can write them in your Bible when you get home or write them now because I think it'll be a help to you to look. It is always helpful. The Bible is so wonderfully put together. We talked about this in the adult Sunday school class. The Bible's so wonderfully put together, it's not a bunch of haphazard thoughts just thrown together. There's an order and a context to everything that every Bible writer says. And I want you to notice what Solomon is writing here about this model wife, this model woman. And we'll talk about who's writing it and all these other things in a moment. But verse 11 and 12, how restful she is. Notice verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. A model wife, a good wife, puts her husband's heart to rest. Those of us men, husbands that are in here can say amen to that. To have a wife that you don't have to worry about where she's going, how long she's gone, who she's gone with, what the circumstances of the situation. A a good wife puts her husband's heart to rest. It says, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Now, the Bible's saying that the mental rest he gets tells him that he's not so concerned about the physical needs that she meets as far as material things. But to have that emotional, psychological rest of having that good wife puts him at ease. Her heart, the heart of her husband, doth safely trust in her. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now again, that's not talking about the things she does, the works of her hands. We'll get to that in the next verse. But it's talking about the way she is, the way she behaves herself, the way she conducts herself, does her husband good and not evil all the days of his life. The good model woman is a restful woman. Verse 13 through 15 tells us how resourceful she is. All right, this is the model wife. Again, we're putting this role model up there, this goal that we shoot for. We see when we study the New Testament that the Lord always gives us standards to meet that are high standards. And the Bible gives us high standards because if we shoot for high standards and don't attain them, at least we've gotten pretty far up there. If the Bible were to give us low standards, like most churches preach today, if the Bible were to set low standards and we shot for them and missed them, we'd be pretty well down there. But the Bible gives us a high standard, not demanding or expecting that we all reach that standard, but they were all pressing toward that, so we get up here instead of down there. So this model of a woman is giving us a high standard to shoot for, that if we only get halfway, we're a lot better than if we were way down here. So we saw how restful she is. Now we see in verse number 13 to 15 how resourceful she is. Notice verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax. She worketh willingly with her hands. Folks, can I just say this, that the good role model woman is a working woman. She's providing, we're going to see down there, she is providing for her family. Now, not in the role of the husband, but in the role of the homemaker. She is providing for her family. She seeketh wool and flax. These are the things for her household. And she worketh willingly with her hands. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from Aldi's. Oh, wait, no. She bringeth her food from afar. You see what she's doing? She's working willingly. She's preparing. She's buying. She's preparing for her household. She has her household in mind. It's a sad state of affairs in the society we live in today when mothers are not conscious of the needs of their children. When they cast off their children for someone else to take care of. For someone else to meet their needs. For someone else to be their mother. Here's a woman that seeketh wool and flax. She worketh willingly with her hands. She's like a merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She does what's necessary. Now, her husband is working the fields. He's working and laboring, but he provides for her. And with what she's given, she works hard in herself to provide for her family. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. We see her resourcefulness in providing with what is entrusted to her hands, with providing for her children in wool, in flax, in food, in verse number 15, verse 14, getting the food. Verse number 15, providing the food, having breakfast ready in the morning, having meals ready, thinking them out, doing them things. I always hate to do this, but I'm thankful for my wife. Not that I hate to do that, but I hate to bring it personally sometimes into the church. I'm thankful for my wife. I see in her, she has taught me what a good mother is. Now, I don't mean to be cruel in that, but my mom, as most of you know, was an alcoholic for most of my lives growing up. And I love her to death. She's gone on. I hope she was saved. She claimed that she was. But we did not have much of a childhood. My sisters did not have much of a role model as far as a mom. And that was hard for them when they became mothers to not have that role model. And so my wife is the first good mom I've ever seen before, and I see these things here. And I'm thankful for her. I've been on a special diet, some of you know, for the last 21 days, and I couldn't do that without her. I can make eggs and bacon for breakfast in the morning, but that's the end of it right there. You don't believe it? You ask my kids that were raised by dad by himself for a while, and they'll tell you about the diet they had, and they'll roll their eyes when they talk about Spam. I think Spam is a great meat. I mean, that is a hint. You take that Spam and you fry it up, melt some cheese on it, and put it between bread. Anyways, they didn't think it was all that great. They got tired of a roast in the crock pot on Sundays. I mean, how bad is that? But I'm thankful for this model woman that riseth also while it is yet night, giveth me thinking ahead, planning the meals, knowing what's going to be served, all that kind of stuff. And fellas, if you and I were left to do that, we'd be in bad shape. We'd be eating Spam with melted cheese on it between two slabs of bread. She was a resourceful woman. Look at verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. She is a rich woman. She's a rich woman. Now, we're not talking about dollars. We're not talking. The Bible says she considereth a field and buyeth it. Isn't that an amazing thing? It's not the man that's doing that. It's the woman. He's out working. She's contemplating the business end of things in the household. I know a lot of households, the women take care of the checkbook. That's not a problem. Here's a woman that some men don't need to touch their checkbook. But here's a woman that considered a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. We talked about her being a working woman in verse 13, working willingly with her hands. She buys the field. She plants the field. Verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. I don't think that means weightlifting. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. The old saying is, and it comes from this proverb, a man works from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. A woman, many times after the man has gone to bed, he's labored during the day and he's gone to bed tired, she'll be up and preparing for the next day, planning for the next day, maybe up early the next morning, the next day, preparing, doing those things. This is some kind of woman in Proverbs 31? And let's take that model and compare it to modern society, and then we understand why our homes are in the problems they're in. The laziness, the not willingness to work and to labor, to think things need to be provided and handed to them. And here's a woman that was rich in what she had. Verse number 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Can I say this? And I know we live in different times. Not all of our kids' clothes have to be from Walmart. Not all of them have to be from Kmart. You know, it's not bad to have hand-me-downs. It's not bad to have homemade clothes. There's nothing wrong with those things. I mean, we're going back in time to a different day, to an easier day. It's a lot easier to go out and buy a pair of jeans, go out and buy a dress, go out and buy slacks, go out and buy this, buy that, buy that. And we've missed. You know what you see in Proverbs 31? You see the closeness of the home and the family. And I know we live in difficult times, so please don't misunderstand me. But we need to endeavor to get back to the way it used to be. Now again, I'm all for air conditioning. It's on right now. I'm all for indoor plumbing. I'm not saying we need to go out, you know, buy a cabin on a hill and live without all the anemones, all those things of life. But I'm saying this, we need sometimes in our society to step back from the push that's going in a certain direction. Just step back and do some things a little bit differently. And get that nucleus back where it was. And here's a woman that made a good home. She was rich in her provision for the home. Then look, if you would, down at verse 20. We see how responsive she is. I'm giving you basically an outline of this chapter. And I'm doing that. This is not planned to be the basis of my message. The Lord's really turned some things around the last couple days. But verse 20 says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Here's a woman not only providing the needs of her household and of her family and of her husband, but she is reaching out. She's responsive to the needs of others. You know, it's usually the wife that says, let's take something to the neighbors. Let's give them some food. Maybe they need, let's share some of this with them. I don't know about, some of you men might be different. I don't think that way. I'm not geared like that. Thank God He's put husbands and wives together in this manner. And she's the one that was responsive to the needs of even those outside of her household. Verse 21. How ready she is. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. Now if you know the color scarlet, that's talking about being pretty well dressed. That's not just, you know, that's not just throwing something together, but making something that's thoughtful. She's not afraid for the snow for her household, for all her children. She's ready. She's prepared for the change in weather. She's got clothes for the kids. She's thinking of fall before fall comes along. She's thinking of winter when it's still fall. She's thinking of summer when it's still winter. She's planning ahead. Those of you moms that have raised kids, you know how well you got to do that because they're going to be in sizes 6 months from now. They're not in right now. I'm the kind that doesn't want to buy our 10-year-old Aaron too many things because I know in 3 weeks it's going to be too small for her. Now, it's probably not that fast, but it seems that fast sometimes. And here's a woman that was making those plans. She was preparing. She was ready in verse number 21. Verse 22 to verse 25, she's respected. Here's a woman that's respected. Verse number 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Now, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. That doesn't mean she's tearing down the curtains to sew clothes, all right? This is not the Sound of Music. But the Bible says she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. In other words, they're well done. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. The people of the village, the people of the town know he's got a good wife. They know he's got a hard-working wife. They know he's got a wife that provides for the children. Can I tell you this? Your neighbor, society knows that. We can try to hide it. We can try to cover it. We can try to bluff it. But people that know us know the difference between a good wife and a not-so-good wife. Of a good mother and a not-so-good mother. And I believe, I'm in church, and I believe I'm talking to good mothers. Don't misunderstand me. But we see this model woman as a role model of what that we can shoot for, and we see how respected she is, that she demands the respect that even her husband gets because he's married to her. She is a compliment to him. She is an asset to him. That's how respected she is. Verse 24, she maketh linen and selleth it. And delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are in her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. I don't know about you, but when I read Proverbs 31, I read about this woman and all the work she does, I just got to sit down and say, I'm tired. I'm tired just reading about all everything she's doing. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She is a respected woman. Verse 26 and verse 27, we see how right she is. Verse 26, she opened her mouth with wisdom. You know, one of the biggest compliments you can pay as a daughter or son is to say, well, you know, my mom taught me. That's high praise. I learned from my mom. You know, you can be 70 years old and say, I learned from my mom. That means what she taught has stuck around. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Oh, ladies, please, have a lady's tongue. Have a tongue of kindness. I was sitting in a tire place just the other day, having some work done on my tires. And I know, you know, I'm prejudiced. I'm not talking about races. I'm talking about when I see somebody and the way they walk and the way they're dressed and the way they act, I've already prejudged them. And when it happens, I'm usually right. And this woman came in and I was reading a book on my Kindle. Those of you that are familiar with the electronic books, I'm reading a book on my Kindle. And the minute she came in and started looking around, I knew what she was looking for. She was looking for somebody to engage in conversation. And the spiritual side of me is saying, here's a good opportunity to talk to her about the Lord. There's the other side's telling me, you're not going to get a word in edgewise. And so I just kind of buried my head in the book. and didn't look up and didn't look around. And she came in, and sure enough, she's looking, and everybody else is pretty much ducking too. And she found a guy, you know, the guy at the counter, he's got to wait on her. He doesn't have any choice. So he starts talking to her, and she just started unloading. I mean, for the next 15 minutes, I know about, you know, about everything. I knew more about her than I know about John sitting on the front row. In 15 minutes, just hearing, I heard about her relatives and her friends and her health issues and her recent hospital visit, all this kind of stuff. You know, this woman, the Bible says, she opened her mouth with wisdom. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Now, I'm not talking about we got to sit there with our mouth shut all the time, but we open our mouth with wisdom. In her tongue is the law of kindness. The things that she says are complimentary. The things that she says are uplifting. The things that she says are encouraging. That's this ideal woman that Solomon is writing about in verse 26. In verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's a busy, hardworking woman. Now, she might not be out in the workforce, as we call it today, because she can provide for her children at home. She can take what her husband provides and make use of it and make it go farther by what she does with it at home. Now, there's a whole volume of sermon messages right there. I'm going to go out on a limb. We say, well, today you have to have two incomes in a home. Well, that depends on what you think the children have to have. I remember when I was in my 20s or 30s, we got around on one old, beat-up, used church van. That was our family vehicle. We didn't have vehicles for every member of the family in the household. We didn't have things that required that much income. We got the income and brought it into the house, and from there it was distributed. The man made the money, and the wife made it go somewhere and spread it out and used it. We live in different societies where kids have to have the newest baseball bat and the newest equipment and the best of the vehicles and the best of this and the best of that. And that learning stage where, you know, I remember that learning stage of being in my 20s and 30s and having the vehicle. If Brother Jeff Braden was here, he could testify to it. How many times I called him up and said, Brother Jeff, I'm broke down on the highway. Brother Jeff, I ran out of gas. My gas gauge didn't work, and I forgot my yardstick that day to see how much was in the tank. I know what it's like to drive those vehicles. Young people don't get that anymore. They don't get that exciting learning part of life anymore. Because when they're young, they're buying the newest, latest model car with all the gizmos and all the things, the latest cell phone, the latest this, the latest that. And that puts a burden on the family where, yeah, you've got to have more than one income. You've got to have more things going on. And again, I step off here. Then we farm our kids out for somebody else to take care of and pay for them to do that, instead of being home doing what's being done here by this woman. And let's move on quickly. Verse number 28. How rewarded she is. Verse 28. How rewarded she is. Whether you're a man or a woman, and you can be the CEO of a big company, you can be on the Fortune 500 list, be in the top 10 business-making places in the world, and then die and it's all over. But if you can leave behind children that say, I remember when my mom said, I remember what my dad taught me, that's a richer reward than all the money that's going to be gained in this life. In verse 28, she said, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Fellas, we got good wives, we need to praise them. We need to let them know that we appreciate them. We need to tell them, well, she knows that. She knows I appreciate her. Bless God, I've lived with her this many years. He riseth up and praiseth her. You know, a good woman would like to be appreciated more than almost anything else. Good women, remember that today when you get a chintzy gift for Mother's Day. Remember, your husband appreciates you. He riseth up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. That's how rewarded she is. And then lastly, verse 29 to verse 31, how renowned she is. How renowned she is. That means that she's known. Known for her virtue. Known for her labor. Known for her love for her family. Known for her provision in her family. That's the model woman in the Bible. Not to be successful in politics, not to be successful in finance, not to be successful in worldly standards. And again, I'm not saying those things are bad, but she's known as the model woman for what she does in her house. Verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou, this woman, excellest them all. Our world puts a standard that's so completely different from the standard the Bible puts. We put a different value than what the Bible puts on a value of this model woman. Verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. I don't care if you're Dolly Parton and you still look at 70 like you did when you were 40 somehow. Now, I know how that happens. The Bible still says that beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Godliness is better than gain. Verse 31, give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. That's what Solomon wrote in Proverbs 31 about the ideal or the model woman or wife. I would say again and remind you, ladies, understand that's an ideal role model. And an ideal role model should have a high standard that we shoot for. So the Bible gives us an ideal role model. Solomon is writing these things. But these are not Solomon's words. And this is important to note. Solomon wrote these things. Now look back at verse 10. Take all these things into consideration he just wrote about this woman. How restful, resourceful, rich, responsive, ready, respected, right, rewarded, and renowned she is. Then notice what he says back at the beginning of verse 10. Who can find a woman like this? Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Solomon listed these things here about that ideal role model of a woman. He said, here's the perfect woman. Here's the perfect wife. Here's the perfect mother. And who can find her? Solomon tried. Do you know how many wives Solomon had? Those of you that know your Bible. Here's what Solomon says. Here's the ideal perfect woman. Did Solomon ever find her? Solomon had 700 wives. Now, if there's ever anything in the Bible, I would say that can't be right. That's got to be it. And I will make no jokes about 700 wives means 700 mother-in-laws. That's not even involved in this. If you had 700 mother-in-laws like mine, you could live with it. It would be easy. Solomon had 700 wives, but that's not the end. And he had 300 concubines. You know what a concubine? It was a mistress. Now, none of this was favored by God. You understand? God was for one man and one wife. Solomon was disobedient to God when he did this. But he married 700 wives and had 300 mistresses. And out of all of them, he said, if I could find one virtuous woman, her price would be far above rubies. Verse number 10 tells us how rare she is. You know how rare she is? Look over to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. The book of Ecclesiastes, right after Proverbs. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. When Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, he was despondent. It is a depressing book. When he wrote this, he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith the preacher. That's what Solomon was thinking when he wrote this book. And we read it to see what a wise man what was in a level of depression. And here's what he wrote in Ecclesiastes 7. Look at verse 25. Ecclesiastes 7:25. I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom. Now Solomon is called by God the wisest man that ever lived. Now that doesn't mean he's perfect, because he sure made a mistake in the domestic end of things. But it says he sought to understand and reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even foolishness and madness. Solomon was raised in the home of David. He was raised in a godly, God-honoring home. Not a perfect home, but a godly, God-honoring home. He was raised, can we say it, as we would call today, in a Christian environment. He didn't know what wickedness and folly was like. He didn't know about foolishness and madness growing up. And he says in verse 26, I find more bitter than death the woman. You know where Solomon finally learned about folly, wickedness, foolishness, and madness? When he got married. 700 times. Somebody did some math on that, and I didn't check it out, but he said if he started getting married at this age, we know how long he'd lived, he'd have been marrying one wife every 3 weeks. Unless he took them in bunches, and we don't know how all that worked out, you know, and all that. But 700, and he said, I find more bitter than death. You know what he said? I've never found the woman of Proverbs 31. I found more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands as bands. You know what the Bible says about Solomon? We don't have time to say. You know what the Bible says? His wives turned his heart away from God. That's what he's writing about here. The woman... I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands and bands. Her hands are bands. For 700 wives and 300 concubines, he couldn't find that woman of Proverbs 31. Fellas, if you've got that woman, thank God for it. Thank God you found a wife and a mother of your children like that woman that Solomon found, that he couldn't find. Notice the end of verse 26. Who pleaseth God shall escape from her. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her. But the sinner shall be taken by her. Verse 27, Behold, this I have found, saith the preacher, that's Solomon, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among 1,000 have I found. He's saying, one man about 1,000 he's found is to be a good man. But a woman among all those, how many? 1,000. 700 wives. 300 mistresses, among all those have I not found. Verse 10 of Proverbs chapter 31 tells us how rare she is. Looking for a woman that meets those standards that Solomon wrote. You know, I believe he found her. I believe Solomon found her because I read about her in the book of Song of Solomon. I read about that Shunammite woman that Solomon, writing, looked at her and said she's everything that a woman's supposed to be. And you go read Song of Solomon later and find out that Solomon's love story. It's for a woman that would not marry him. That's for a woman that would have, that good virtuous woman would have nothing to do with Solomon. Can you blame her? He sought for her. He found her. But she would have nothing to do with him because he was not a man of virtue. He was not a man that was what he should be, though she was. And so her beloved came and took her away. The shepherd, the owner of the vineyard came and took her away, and Solomon was left empty. He found that one woman, but she wouldn't have anything to do with him. Here's that ideal woman in verse 30, chapter 31. I alluded to this in just a moment. Solomon said, here she is, for her price is far above rubies. And he described this woman that he's looking for and then married 700 times someone that wasn't like that. Why? Because he didn't heed his mother's advice. He didn't listen to his mother that had raised him. Notice verse number 1 of Proverbs 31. The words of King Lemuel. Now King Lemuel is King Solomon. We don't have time to go through that. You'll just have to take my word for it at this point. That's King Solomon. He wrote all of Proverbs. Verse 1 of chapter 31, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy, what? That his mother taught him. Everything written in Proverbs 31 was what his mother taught him. His mother said, son, here's the kind of woman you need to look for. Here's the kind of woman you need to find. Here's the kind of woman you need to court. Here's the kind of woman you need to check out and make sure before you marry her. Here's what she needs to be like. Solomon obviously did not heed his mother's advice. Now, who was his mother? Solomon's mother was Bathsheba. Was Bathsheba a perfect woman? I can't help but believe, we read the story in 2 Samuel 11, we read the story about David and his act of adultery and Bathsheba on the rooftop, and I cannot, some people have said it, but I cannot believe she was completely 100% innocent in what she did. She was partly to blame in the situation with David and all that happened and transpired. Then David married her, and after that they produced Solomon. And he was raised in a house where his father and probably his mother were repentant of the sin they had committed. And they dedicated their household to God. And though she was not a perfect woman, Solomon got good advice from her. You know, sometimes we say this, well, my mom wasn't everything she should have been. Nobody's mom was. Nobody's dad was. No person or individual ever is. But they taught us things that we should have listened to. They taught us things that we should have heeded. And even today, if they're still around, they still teach us things we ought to pay attention to. But Solomon was too bullheaded. He was young. He knew everything. What's his mom going to tell him? What's she going to teach him? What are those old people at church going to tell him? He knows everything. He knows what to look for. He knows who to find. And Solomon got himself in a royal mess. 1,000 wives around him. And no peace, and no happiness, and no joy. And kids that ended up fighting and feuding and splitting the kingdom wide open. And it was all disaster. You know why? Because Solomon did not heed his mother's advice. We need to listen to those that have gone before us. They're not always going to be perfect. They're not always going to say everything that's correct. Sometimes we'll say, you know, mom told me this or that and it just didn't pan out. That's going to happen. But let's take some advice from those that have gone before us. Let's listen to some wisdom that's handed down from one generation down to the next. And ladies, there's your role model as to what a good wife, a good mother is to be. I will guarantee you that today's society will steer you 100% in a different direction than the Bible does. And it'll put you in a place where you've got to make a decision at a crossroads of which way to go. Solomon was at a crossroads. He chose the wrong direction. We can go through Scripture. This was not going to be my message this morning. My message is going to be Samuel had a praying mom. My message is going to be Timothy had a Bible-teaching mother and grandmother. My message is going to be on John Mark that we studied Wednesday night, whose mom had the house where the prayer meeting was held when Peter was in prison, when he got released. John Mark, who ended up becoming a great servant of God, had a spiritual mom. I don't know what kind of moms we've had, but we can learn valuable lessons from them, and most of all, valuable lessons from the Word of God, and heed the circumstances that comes from going in a different direction from the Word of God. Proverbs 31, the model woman. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.